Last week, we started looking at spiritual gifts as Paul wrote about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to go ahead and read those verses to you again, starting in verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, Paul writes about varieties of gifts and service and activities in the body of Christ, which we call the church. But he says it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who provides, encourages, and empowers the church. And we look at that idea of the three things, the gifts and the activities and the encouragement. And we realize that this is a really kind of great manifestation of the Holy Trinity. Three in one. And the same God is the Holy Spirit. The same God is Jesus Christ. And they work together to bring us unity in the church, especially as it considers our gifts. And we read that these gifts and service and activities are given to Christ's people for the common good. And Paul here is talking about ensuring the common good of the church so that the church can use their varieties of gifts and service and activities to build the kingdom of God. And then Paul tells us what the variety of gifts are that the Spirit gives us. And we read about those last week, and I'm going to read that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, last week, we learned about the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge, and we learned about faith. And we discovered that these three first gifts that Paul lists form a kind of base or a foundation for building the kingdom of God, not only in the church, but outside the church. And speaking wisdom, speaking knowledge, and having faith or having trust in God helps us to see our fellow human beings the way God sees them and gives us the basis for building relationships with those outside of Christ's church so that we might become trustworthy to them as we point them toward reconciliation with God. And people being able to trust us is a really solid foundation for building the kingdom of God. But today we're going to be looking at some other gifts. We're going to be looking at the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and prophecy. Now, these first two gifts, the gifts of healings and the working of miracles, are often overlooked in our modern age and in our modern church. In fact, there are Christians who believe that these gifts, the gifts of healings and the working of miracles, was reserved only for Jesus and for his apostles and for maybe the 72 that were sent out by Jesus to do these works. But we have some people that don't believe that that happens today, that people have the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. Now, of all the miracles that Jesus did on earth, only seven were not related to healing. And Jesus cured diseases. We read all through the Gospels. He cured blindness. He cured leprosy and deafness and paralysis. And Jesus exorcised demons. That means he cast out demons. He commanded that the demons living inside of people would get out of them. And Jesus raised people from the dead. I mean, talk about the ultimate healing. Now, the apostles and the 72 that Jesus sent in Luke chapter 10, they also cured diseases and they exorcised demons. Peter and Paul each raised someone from the dead. But the question we have to ask are these healings and miracles happening today? And are they even available to us as gifts of the Spirit today? Now, let's talk about healing. Healing, the dictionary definition of healing is to make well, sound, or whole, to restore to health, to remedy or amend any evil as grief, to restore to original purity or integrity, to return to a sound state. Then we talk about miracles, and the definition of a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Now, we read through the Gospels, and the healings in the Bible match these definitions. The only difference between this definition of healing and what happens in the Bible is that it's also coupled with being miraculous. Things were happening. They were extraordinary. And people saw Jesus and the apostles and the 72 doing these miraculous, wonderful things. And they were doing these things because they were empowered by faith and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus did. He healed people through the power of the Holy Spirit. The thing is that Jesus healed people through that power. But the reason that Jesus healed was because he had compassion on the people that he healed. He loved them, and he made them whole. Now, sometimes just by saying the word. Sometimes by touching them or by them touching him. Sometimes he even made mud to put into someone's eyes and then told them to go and wash their eyes. And when they did, they could see. Jesus healed with power, but he healed because of compassion. And Jesus never claimed that it was his power. He never even said to the people he was healing, "The Holy Spirit is going to heal you." On many occasions, Jesus told the person who was being healed, "Your faith has healed you." And in a couple of cases, "Your faith has healed the person that you wanted me to heal." There's a story when someone comes to Jesus and says that their servant is sick and Jesus can heal them. He knows that Jesus can heal them. And Jesus gets ready to go with this person. And the man says, "No, you don't have to come with me. All you have to do is say the word and I know that this person will be healed." And Jesus looked at this man, not a Jew, not someone a part of the Israelites. He was a Roman centurion, and Jesus looked at this man and said, "I have never found such faith in all of Israel. What you want, I do. Your servant is healed." We look at that word faith. We looked at it last week. We talked about what faith is. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. And faith is a part of the foundation of building the kingdom of God. Faith is trust in God that he can and he will accomplish his plan through Christ's church, through his people. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit began to live in believers of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers, the power of the Holy Spirit filled them, and they were given all of the power that Jesus had. Now, not long after, Peter and John were going into the temple in Jerusalem, and they came across a man who had been crippled from birth. And this man was begging. He was asking for alms or monetary gifts. And when the man asked for alms from Peter and John, Peter looked at him and said, "I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And the man rose, and then he walked, and then he jumped, and then he danced, and then he praised God. Peter discerned that he had the gifts of healings from the Holy Spirit, and that God would heal this man on Peter's word. And when we came to know Jesus ourselves, when we came to accept the gift of salvation in his name, we too were given the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And through the Holy Spirit, we get the spiritual gifts that Paul is talking about here. And as Paul writes, two of these gifts are the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. So we have to go back to that original question I asked a few minutes ago. Can healings and miracles happen today? Or are these gifts, were they just limited to Jesus and to the people that we read about in the Bible? And I can't help but thinking, if the bulk of Jesus's ministry was acting with compassion to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to raise people from the dead, and if his disciples were endowed with gifts of healings and the working of miracles, why would we believe that these spiritual gifts no longer apply to the members of Christ's body? If we are called to be compassionate to one another, if we are called to be compassionate to the world, why would God decide to withhold the gifts of healing, one of the greatest signs of Christ's compassion, making people whole? I believe that the gifts of healings and the working of miracles can still happen today through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in Christ's believers. And let me just say one more thing about the gifts of healings before we move on to prophecy. If you read the passage very carefully, you will notice that it says gifts of healing. And some translation says gifts of healings, not the gift of healing. I mean, think about the diseases and the illnesses that exist in the world today. There are thousands of them, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, including this new one that's been wreaking havoc on the world over the past 6 or 8 months. When Paul talked about gifts of healings, what he is saying is that it's probable that the ability to heal all disease doesn't reside in one person. It doesn't reside in one member of Christ's church. Instead, it means that one member of Christ's church may have the gift of healing specific diseases, and another member the gifts of healing other diseases, and another person another. And as with all spiritual gifts, they are given to us as God wants them given, to work through us when God wants us to work. In other words, if you have the gifts of healings of migraine headaches, you will only be able to use that gift as God wills and as the Holy Spirit gives you power. It's not some magical ability that means that you're going to be able to heal migraine headaches all across the board. Now, that might not make sense to some of us, and sometimes it doesn't make sense to me. And if you have questions about the gifts of healing or the working of miracles, I really encourage you to reach out to me. You can email me, you can call me. I promise you, I will not have all of the answers. unless God gives them to me, I probably will not have all of the answers. But we can talk through these ideas, these things, gifts of healing, and these workings of miracles, and maybe gain some knowledge, maybe some wisdom, and maybe even grow a little bit in our faith. The next gift on Paul's list is the gift of prophecy, and is probably one of the most misunderstood concepts in today's world. In the modern age, when somebody speaks of prophecy, what they're really talking about is predictions. Someone says something will happen, and it happens, and people will say, oh, you must be a prophet. Now, who's the most famous predictor that you've ever heard of? For me, it's Nostradamus. Right? Nostradamus was a 16th century French astrologer and physician who wrote a book called Les Prophéties, which contains 942 poems that many claim predicted the future from when Nostradamus wrote. Here's the thing, though. The poems are so vaguely worded that the predictions contained in them could mean many things. And it's really easy sometimes for us to go and say, oh, Nostradamus wrote this in the 1500s. It really must be related to what's going on in 2020. But maybe not. Now, when we talk of prophecy in the church, when we talk of prophecy in the Bible, what we're talking about is the ability to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit about God's thoughts, His intentions, and even His nature. We read about prophets a lot, mostly in the Old Testament. There are a couple in the New Testament, but if you've been around church for a long time, you might have heard of people like Isaiah and Daniel, Jeremiah and Elijah. Now, mostly, these prophets were people sent to the people of Israel with a message from God. And mostly, the message had to do with whatever Israel was doing wrong against God at that time. See, those messages often included a rebuke for acting against God, a warning for the consequences if they kept acting against God, and also a way out if they would repent and turn back to God. The prophets of the Old Testament worked through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they spoke words of wisdom, like Isaiah when he told of the coming of the one who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sometimes they spoke words of knowledge of something God was going to do. Noah was considered a prophet. While he was building the ark for 100 years, Noah was telling anyone who came into his kind of sphere that God was planning to flood the earth. Now, often prophets also had the gift of faith, but they didn't always act faithfully. I'll give you an example. Jonah was sent to Nineveh to speak a message of prophecy, of rebuke, of potential consequence, and of a way out. But Jonah didn't want to give that message to the people of Nineveh. Jonah wanted the people of Nineveh to face God's consequences, to face God's wrath. He wanted God to destroy the people of Nineveh. But God said no. And Jonah tried to run the other way, and he got on a boat. And God sent storms, and the people threw Jonah off the boat, and God swept him up in a great fish. And then he took Jonah up to the land, spit him out, and Jonah went to Nineveh. And he prophesied. Now, he prophesied kicking and screaming the whole way, and after he had prophesied, he came out and he started whining about it to God. He didn't understand why you're going to let the Ninevites live. Why are you giving them a chance to repent? They're horrible people. Just let them die. But he prophesied. Now, some of these prophets were able to perform miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And these miracles were divine signs to help people know that it was God who was sending the messages that the prophets were speaking. Moses had the 10 plagues. Joshua had the falling of the walls of Jericho. Elijah and Elisha raised the dead, fed the hungry with very little, if anything, available. They saw supplies and provisions just stretched further than we possibly could imagine. And they worked these miracles, and people believed God. And people believed the message because of the miracles. Do you start to see how these spiritual gifts have helped to build the kingdom of God? These gifts empowered by the Holy Spirit, they have helped build the kingdom of God since the beginning. And they continue to help to build the kingdom of God today. So long as God's people, Christ's church, will discern their gifts and will use them for the purpose of building the kingdom of God. I said last week that we have available a spiritual gifts test that can help you to discern what are your spiritual gifts. And once you take and score the test, we can sit down together and prayerfully consider what your gifts are and how they might be used effectively to build the kingdom of God. And if you want to take this test, if you want to do this exercise, please email the church office or email me directly and we'll get the test out to you. It's in a PDF and you just fill it out and score it. And then we can set up a time for us to get together to have a time of prayer and to have a time of discussing what these answers on your test might mean. Because church, it is time. It is time for some of us to start using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. It's time for us to gather ourselves together using all of our various gifts, service, and activities that God provides for us, and to be Christ to every person that we meet. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live with us, to die for us, to rise again, and to intercede for us even today. And Father, we thank you that you sent his Holy Spirit to us, to live in us, to instruct us, and to provide gifts. Gifts that we can use to help build your kingdom. Gifts that we can use to help build relationships with other people inside the church and outside the church. Gifts that would point others to you. Father, we ask that you would help us to pray, help us to consider our gifts, help us to discern what those gifts are and how you want them used. Father, help us to realize that it is time for us to stop sitting back. Stop wasting time. Stop wasting the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. And it is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to leave these four walls, or to leave our homes, or to leave our cars, wherever we're watching or listening to this message. And it's time for us to work. It's time for us to employ our gifts so that you, through us, can build your kingdom. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Next week, we're going to visit the next three gifts on Paul's list, distinguishing between spirits, various tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And this week, I pray that you will spend some time with God, and that you will allow the Holy Spirit to help you to discern the gifts that he wants to give you. Because when we can discern our spiritual gifts, we can go a long way towards knowing God's will for his kingdom and for his church. God bless you. God bless you this week.